One more time. God answers prayers. Let me have what I had there, my stuff real quick here. Can I have the umbrella and the hammer? George, come up here real quick with me, please. Bring the hammer. George, just help me out here today. Can you open up the umbrella? We don't believe in luck. We believe in blessing. So this whole thing about helping the umbrella. Put the umbrella on your left hand. All right, put the hammer on your right. There it is. Let's just put you right here. You see the lighting. Just like this. Look up your George lighting camera. Uh-huh. Repeat after me. I'm singing in the rain. You actually did that. That wasn't scripted, but that actually happened. All right, Mary Poppins, listen carefully right now as we do this. This right here, this optic right here. That's it. Rain is coming. It's going to rain. It's an interesting moment in America and around the world. We're coming out of a very interesting season. Rain is coming. The rain is inevitable. The blessings of God are the showers of blessings. God has the final word. The enemy will not have the final word in any circumstance in your life. The enemy will not have the final word in your family. The enemy will not have the final word in your health. The enemy will not have the final word in your dream. The enemy will not have the final word in your finances. The enemy will not have the final word in your generation. The enemy will not have the final word in this nation. The enemy will not have the final word upon the world. The enemy will not have the final word in humanity. God is not done yet. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He is the author and the consumer of our faith. He is the beginning and the end. So the last word, God will have the last word. Rain is coming. Somebody shout, rain is coming.
Rain is coming.
Your prayer will be answered. Rain. Rain is a demonstration of God's refreshing grace and bounty. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Rain is coming. It's coming. Ezekiel chapter 32. Acts chapter 3. Rain is coming. But your prayer will be answered. But something has to happen before this. And that's what I want to show you real quick here today. And I mean really quick. It is from the narrative of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. Does God answer prayers? Yes. Matter of fact, if you are here because God answered someone else's prayer, raise one hand. You that are streaming around the world right now on our platform, tell me if you're the result of someone else's answered prayer. Here it is. As we begin this year, making first things first, focusing on priorities, the question arises, is there absolutely anything that we can do that will position ourselves, spiritually speaking, where answered prayers will not evade us? The answer is absolutely yes. The Bible offers a simple equation that if we adhere to it, it will guarantee, strong term, that God will respond to our prayers. If you repair your altar, God will answer your prayers. That's what took place with the prophet Elijah. 1 Kings 18:32. The prophet Elijah, he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. He rebuilt the altar before the fire came down, before God sent down his fire, before God sent down the rain. What did Elijah do? Repair the altar. On this Sunday, this is the word of the Lord for you and your family. If you rebuild the altar, you will receive the answer to your prayer. Somebody say, rebuild the altar. Look at your neighbor, tell him, rebuild the altar. The altar is the raised place for praise, worship, sacrifice, and prayer. The altar can best be described as God's table. In the days of Elijah, the altar was abandoned. Israel's altar, the national altar, was abandoned. It was broken. It was discombobulated. Simply stated, it was out of order. The altar was broken. Elijah's saying, we have a drought. You want God to answer your prayers, but you're out of alignment. You lack order. And because you lack order, God is not responding. But I'm going to stand up in the name of the Lord our God, and I'm going to bring back together. I'm going to repair the altar, because the moment the altar is repaired, God will answer from heaven. The The moment you get the altar of your heart repaired, this is your altar. Somebody touch your heart and say, this is my altar. The moment you get your heart right, the moment you repair this, then this will change. You're asking God to change this when this is out of order. You're asking God to change your family when this is out of order. You want God to change your circumstances when this is out of order. God says, you get your heart right, everything else will follow. Somebody say, repair the altar. In the days of Elijah, the altar was abandoned. It was broken, out of order. Yet there was a holy remnant led by the prophet, hungry for revival. There was a holy remnant led by this prophet of God who wanted to end the drought. There was a man who truly believed that God can make all things new. The prophet of God believed that a new season was not only possible, but absolutely necessary. And what did he do? He rebuilt the altar. This is step one. Somebody shout, step one. The algorithm for God's favor begins with putting things in order. I'll repeat that. The algorithm for God's favor begins with putting things in order. From Genesis to Revelation, the word of God is clear. God does not bless a mess. Somebody needs to hear that. God does not anoint chaos. The people on the other side of the stage, what did they do? Elijah let them go first. We covered this. What did they do? They wobbled, they hobbled, they danced, they screamed, they shouted, they cut themselves, they engaged in religious mutilation. And God went, I'm not doing anything. God said, I'm not responding to that because the altar is still out of order. The altar is still out of order. And why did it God? Because God doesn't bless a mess. He does not anoint chaos. In other words, if it's out of order, it is out of his will. Stop asking God to bless your mess. This is for somebody here. Stop asking God to anoint your chaos. And by the way, there are people around your life. There are people in your. We live in a day and age where people bring their mess to our lives. And they don't, before it used to be, I need you to love me in spite of my mess. Now they're demanding that you love their mess. Oh, now you need to accept their mess. Now you need to accept their chaos. You have to affirm it and celebrate it. And that, no, in the name of Jesus, no, I love you, but I rebuke your mess. I love you, but I rebuke your chaos. I love you, but I'm not going to embrace your crazy way of thinking. No, I love you, but I rebuke what the devil is doing in your life. Don't bless other people's mess. Oh, wow. I'm just excited that George is standing next to me with an umbrella and a hammer. I preach better when he's next to me like that. Where's the altar? Your heart is the altar. Let me tell you what God says about your heart, your altar. Where your heart is, there, your treasure will. Matthew 6:21. Out of the abundance of the heart speaks the what? Matthew 12:34. When the prophet Samuel was looking for the next king of Israel and David emerged, the statement arose that while man may judge you by appearance, God will judge the what? 1 Samuel 16:7. Who will ascend God's holy hill? Those that have clean hands and what? The psalmist stated this so powerfully. When the prophet repaired the altar, what took place? God answered his prayer. Your heart altar is repaired. The moment you fix this, you will see answered prayers. What, I don't know if you got that. When your heart is out of order, if the altar of your soul, which is your heart, is in disarray with unforgiveness and unbelief and bitterness and jealousy and offense, if you're still offended by what they did to you and you haven't forgiven them yet, then you don't need to look any further as it pertains to why you're not seeing God answer your prayer. Get this right. Repair the altar. Somebody say, repair the altar of your heart. Number two, quickly, and there's only 3 points. Repair the altar in the name of the Lord. 1 Kings 18:32. And he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of what?
The Lord.
In the name of whom?
The Lord.
In the name of whom?
The Lord.
I need to repeat this because we have no choice. We just follow the book. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong
tower.
The righteous run into it, and there they are what? That's why Exodus 20, verse 7 tells us, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Matthew 6:9, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. Acts 4:12, there is no salvation. Salvation can be found in no one else. For there is no other name unto which heaven has given men by which man will be saved. And Philippians 2, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall in heaven and on earth and under the earth and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Repair the altar of your heart. Repair the altar in the name of the Lord. What is the meaning of the name of the Lord? Is it a magic trick? Is that like the secret sauce in Jesus' name, like a magic trick? When the Bible says that when you, by faith through Christ, when you understand the meaning of that name, of who it represents, the fullness of God shows up. The finished work of Christ, the fullness of Christ shows up. We're going to repair the altar. And I believe we're about to see the altar of the heart, even the altars of our families, our homes, our marriages, our churches, our communities repaired. We're going to do this, but we're going to do it in the name of the Lord. We're not going to do it in the name of a movement, of a social, political, cultural movement. We're not going to do it in the name of an idea, an ideology, or philosophy. We're going to do it in the name of the Lord. Well, today is Sunday. Oh, we're live, and I mean live as live can be. This is not recorded. This is not recorded. You know it's not recorded because it's not recorded. We're live. Why am I saying this? Because around the world, things are happening. And even though there's good news in the horizon, and even good news in the midst of it all, pretty amazing, this reality, we are here to repair the altar in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? We're going to lift up the name of the Lord before a broken world. I just want to remind everyone today, on this Sunday, here's a statement I have to make today. Our God is an awesome God. Now, I'm going to have to put this in context, just in case for historical purposes, someone streams this a year from now, 5 years, 10 years, the Lord tarries. This is right now a moment where more people are infected by a variant of a virus than any other time in human history. Today is the peak. Like today, more people around the world are infected by a virus than any other point in human history. Today is the high point. In the midst of all of that, there's so much fear and consternation, even though less people are dying, 11 people around the world, more people are dying from a Starbucks overdose than they are from this variant. And every life is sacred, I get that. But in the midst of it all, instead of shriveling up and bowing to fear, I want to tell you, in the name of the Lord, as we repair the altar, that our God is an awesome God. Our God is omnipotent. I said our God is omnipotent. Our God is omnipotent. Our God is omniscient. Our God is omnipresent. Our God is holy. Our God is merciful. Our God is just. Our God is love. Our God reigns. Our God saves. Our God delivers. And I'm going to say it. Our God heals. I said our God heals. Our God heals. Our God blesses. Our God favors. Our God provides. Our God promotes. Our God protects. Our God forgives our failures. Our God forges our future. Our God died for us. Our God resurrected for us. Our God ascended for us. And believe it or not, our God is coming back for us. Somebody shout like you serve that God. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. We're going to land this. How many serve that God?
Yes.
We're repairing the altar in the name of that God. And by the way, your hands raised. Raise them up. In this crazy season, Somebody may say, Pastor Sam, I get it. You're repairing the altar of your heart and you're repairing the altar in the name of the Lord and the name of God. But which God? There's so many gods out there. All right, wise guy. You want to ask me about which God? Let me tell you the God that I'm talking about. I want to be clear because there's so much ambiguity now. I'm talking about the God that made something out of nothing. I'm talking about the God that changed Abram to Abraham, Simon to Peter, water into wine, and a bunch of sinners into an army of saints. I'm talking about the God that told Moses to extend the rod. He told Joshua to blow the trumpet, Gideon to break the pitcher. He told Zacchaeus to come down. He told Lazarus to come forth. And to the woman at the well, he said, go and sin no more. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking about the God that became flesh and dwelt amongst men. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about Christ Jesus. Lord, there is no one like you, for you are a great God, and your name is full of power. Jeremiah 10:6. If you serve that God, lift up your hands. Stand with me. You are standing, those that are not. If you're at home, stand with me. If you're driving, don't stand. George, you're awesome for doing this, but this illustration is powerful because we want this. Everyone wants God to answer our prayers. God, please answer my prayer. Please save my family right now. Please pour out your glory. Please pour out your blessings. Please answer the prayers. And then God says, let me give you a hammer. You repair the altar. Repair the altar. If you repair the altar, I will send the fire. If you repair the altar, I will send the rain. But your heart has to be right. I can't bless a mess. I can't anoint chaos. What is God telling you? Repair the altar of your heart. Repair the altar in the name of the Lord. And the third point is, repair the altar by putting things in perfect order. And you say, but how do I do that? It's simple. Matthew 6:33. Seek first. Seek first what? Seek first what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Make the kingdom first. Make God your priority. Every single day, make God your priority. He must be more important than your career. He must be more important than paying your bills. He must be more important than anything else in your life. Make God first, and you will never be last. If you receive all of this, now give God a shout of praise. It's about the kingdom. Somebody say it's about the kingdom. The kingdom, let me remind you, is where the presence of God is experienced, the power of God is expressed, and the purpose of God executed. The kingdom is where God shows up, his power comes out, and his purpose comes to pass. The kingdom is God's reign through God's people over God's place. I love that Gospel Coalition definition. God reigns. Yeah, Pastor, what are you saying? And some of my prayers may not be answered because things are out of alignment. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, it's actually not Sam. That's what the Bible talks about. I just deliver the pizza. Yeah. So I have to get this right? Yeah. And how do I get it right? Lord, I give you my heart. I need heart surgery today. I need open heart surgery today. I get it now. If this is out of order, you're not going to bless a mess. You're not going to anoint my chaos. So Lord, put things in order. Everything else follows out of this. So Lord, put it, whatever is not of you in my heart, let's make that prayer. Heavenly Father, today, touch my heart. Transform my heart. Operate my heart. Whatever is out of alignment, whatever is not of you, remove it, address it, extract it, Do it in the name of Jesus. Today, my altar is in your hands. I am fully committed for my altar to be rebuilt, to be repaired, to be renewed, to be redeemed in the name of Jesus. Repair the altar of my heart in the name of Jesus as I advance the kingdom of heaven for your name's sake. In Jesus' name. Now give God your shout of praise. If you got that word, praise like you got it. Thank you, George. You're awesome. Look up here for a second. Are you ready? We get this right. We get this right, Pastor Elijah. We get this right. This is all under grace. If we get this right, it's not about the reason we want to get it right. And the reason we want to live a life in alignment of God's word, will, and way, that's called holiness, righteousness. It's not because if I mess up or sin, I'm afraid of what God is going to do to me. It's because if I don't get this right, I'm afraid of what God will no longer do through me. Saved, man. You're going to heaven. You sin, you confess, he forgives you. 1 John 1:9. You're good. You're in his grip. You're not getting. But what God does through you is directly proportional to the condition of your heart. Did you get this? That's why this has to be right. Forgive. Let go of the offense. Do away with unbelief. Learn to rebuke yourself. Pray over yourself. Don't bless somebody else's mess. Love them, but don't bless their mess. And don't ask God to bless your mess. Seal this in Jesus' name. Give God one, and give it the best shout of praise you've given. You're so amazing. You really are. Your pastor today is a little bit emotionally taken back. My expectations today, not that I have faith, and I have a lot of faith. But I am blown away. And you, yeah. And this is the peak. So next Sunday we should have double, triple the audience. But the fact that that you are here, you're messing me up. You're going to make me get emotional here, make me want to just cuddle with myself. No, seriously, you're messing me up. Wow. Pastor Eddie Ranch, you don't come into this house ever and just stay there. Get up here, man. What's wrong with you? Come up here. Get up here. Pastor Eddie is a teaching pastor. He's always preaching every Sunday somewhere in the world. He's just, as you already know, one of the best preachers on the planet. So, great to see you.
Great to see you.
How are you? Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
No. You look younger every year. I don't understand it. It's amazing. It's right living. It's God moving.
It is. And this is such a revelation that I received regarding a powerful word called Botox. And I'm kidding, guys. There's no Botox here whatsoever. None whatsoever.
If you're using it, let me know. No, or I can get it.
Yeah. So yeah. I got a plan. Yeah. So, but by the way, we have this amazing. So you're granddaddy. You're a granddaddy.
Yes.
Look at this.
7 months old, little Zeke. Yeah.
So Christmas must have been a different season for you this year.
Oh man, a new world.
New world.
I'm happy to be part of the club.
It's a great club.
Oh yes, I've been watching you with great envy. When you've been celebrating your kid, your grandkids.
Oh, it's just a different reality.
So God's
reality.
Answered my prayer.
Different season. You have no idea. You do have an idea.
I do now.
Yes.
It was all,
What we're doing around the world, not just through Convoy, other ministries that we're partnering with, just right now, in this season of repairing the altar, in this season of the entire world going like, what's next? What's next is, where's God? Where is God? Where's God? Where's God? Let me answer you, where's God? God is where he was in the beginning.
Yes.
God is where he was 1,000 years ago. God is where he was 50 years ago and where he is today, still on the throne.
Yes.
That's where's God.
That's right. That's for sure.
Why is it important for us to kick off the year right of our giving?
Well, giving everything. When I walked in here and I sat down and I was just praying about the service, the Lord spoke to my heart, Genesis 8:22. And there is a lot of times what we don't realize is that the principles and the laws of God either bless you or break you. And a lot of times we want blessing when we're not following the principles. And the Bible says seed time and harvest are perpetual. That the hot and cold, summer and winter,
yep,
this is perpetual because that's the law and the principle of God. And many times people go, I really want to be blessed in my life. It's your whole message wrapped up. That God wants us to know that his desire is to bless us, but only when we follow his principles. And his principle is seed time and harvest. And when we begin to engage God with faith, saying, I want to operate in the principle and the blessing and the favor of God, we begin to see that when we honor that and walk in that.
But it's really about a plow and a mantle. Life is about seasons where we are pushing, and we're pushing through work and family and home and relationships and faith. And then all of a sudden, just like Elijah, God places a deposit upon each and every one of us. Because I am believing in the name of Jesus that before this is over, you're gonna go from a plow to a mantle, and you're gonna walk out of an anointing that will enable you to change your life for the glory of Jesus. So I'm speaking prophetically to every plow pusher right now. With your right hand, lift it up. Here it is. To every mom and dad, husband and wife, married and single, entrepreneur and creative who has been pushing the plow. If you've never pushed the proverbial plow, do not expect to carry the mantle. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary of doing what is right. In your appointed time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if you do not give up.